Welcome, everyone, to iAfrica Media Podcast, the biggest podcast channel for all things IK on the African continent. I'm Obi Malope from South Africa, and of course, I'm with the famous optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, representing all across the world. And today, it's an honor to hang out with you, Obi. I know you're doing great things in not just South Africa, but Africa and also the entire world. And I'm super excited about our guest today that has really changed the game in eye care in South Africa as well.
No, definitely. We're privileged this afternoon to be hanging out with Ms. Ntombi Zita. She's a leader in eye care on the African continent. She's involved with various organizations and she has done incredible work. Hey, Ntombi, how are you?
I'm very well, and yourself, Obi? And hi, Daryl. How are you doing, Dr. Daryl Glover?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Now, you know, the million-dollar question is, you know, how did you get into optometry? You know, what pushed you to jump into this wonderful industry? And if you could just give us a little background about you in regards to what school you went to and just your overall footprint in optometry right now.
Well, that's a very nice story to tell because unfortunately for me, when I was young, I had problems seeing in the class. And, you know, I always say I was fortunate because my parents, when I told them that I was struggling to see the board, I was struggling to see at distance, they took it seriously. My dad understood exactly what I was talking about because he also had a similar problem. And I was taken to an optometrist and voila, in grade three, I think then it was standard three, now it's grade five here in South Africa. I was given then a pair of spectacles at that age and it changed my life. I walked outside, I could see the leaves. And from there on, I realized the impact the spectacles had in my life. And I wore them daily because obviously I was seeing the benefits. And then I continued getting my eyes checked regularly, changing my spectacles regularly as well. And I must say, I was just fortunate in that sense. And then when I did my matric and thinking of what I wanted to do, I decided that I don't want to deal with blood directly. I'd want to be in the health sciences. But then I thought, hey, why don't I just get into optometry since the rest of my family wear spectacles? And that's where I know the first income will be coming from, at least at the beginning. And I went to the University of Limpopo to do my optometry. And at the time, it was one of the best institutions to offer optometry. And I enjoyed it and I loved it. And I still love optometry. I think for me, I'm passionate about optometry and I just love being a clinician more than anything in optometry.
Wow, Ntombi. That is very interesting. I never knew that background about you. You are involved at the moment with various organizations. You know, you get your hands dirty, if I can put it that way. What made you decide to get involved and not sit on the fence and just watch what's happening in the eye care industry?
I'm one person who cannot sit, Obi. That's the problem. I mean, I can't sit and do nothing. I can't sit and be and watch people do things. And I was brought up to do things myself, to be involved, to take part in whatever that I was involved in. And sitting on a fence is not for me. So I believe in being in the forefront of doing things. I believe in being in the forefront of changing things. And if there's an opportunity for things to get better, I want to be there. I want to make things better. That's what I teach my daughter. I teach them, you see something, look at the solution, look at the possibilities of doing it better. So that's basically me.
Wow. You know, I love that because in the landscape of optometry right now is really changing and you need minds like that in order to be able to adapt and change with the industry. So kudos to you in regards to just having that mentality and not just sitting on the bench and getting out in the game and actually playing and making changes, because it's folks like you that's going to continue to make optometry great.
We have to. I mean, there's so many opportunities in optometry. There's so much research that still needs to be done. There's so much that we still need to work on in our field. And fortunately, in South Africa, we had the opportunity to have our scope increased, because at some point optometry, it was just mostly refraction. And fortunately, when we had the opportunity to increase our scope, some of us took advantage of that. And it's changed my life. It changed the way I look at optometry, and the way I manage my patient is becoming more and more fulfilling.
Ntombi, speaking of your patients, how has COVID-19 affected you as a business owner, both personally and professionally, at the current moment?
Personally, it's a disaster. I had to, unfortunately, when we had the lockdown, my kids were, I'm based now in Cape Town, my kids were had gone to Pretoria to visit their dad for the holidays. So they ended up being locked down there, up there, and now I'm here by myself down here. And like I said, I can't sit and not do anything. So I ended up finding myself doing four courses at the same time with the Cambridge Institution and studying and doing a whole lot of things, being kept busy by OB as well and the Contact Lens Society, and keeping busy, you know, because I can't sit and do nothing, and reading a lot as well. And the webinars that we're getting are helping us a lot to revise and to just put ourselves, keep giving us more information on what is there in optometry. Business-wise, it's a bit of a challenge, because there's no income. And no income means you're struggling to pay your your employees. It's a bit of a hustle. But we try and keep in touch with them and to reassure them that as soon as we get back to business, things will get back to, we'll try and make sure that we get back to business and we do our best to make it work.
Now, you're saying that it's a challenge from a business point of view. What did you have to communicate with your team? Did you have to pay them in advance? What type of reassurances did you have to provide your team during this time?
As you know, Obi, my current business, our current business is quite new. It's only about end of April, which was 4 months old.
Sure.
And can you imagine, there is no cash sitting around waiting to be spent or splashed. I had to cut my salary. I had to make sure that my employees, I know they can eat and they've got something to put on their table and to come get home with. Those are the sacrifices that some of you have to take, unfortunately, if you are owner of the business. We keep in touch with them regularly, at least once a week, to check how they're doing, if they're still okay, if there's anything we can do. We can't do much, unfortunately, but we've decided to just be present, to be there, and to show that we're still there for them and they're not alone.
You know, that's great, because during this time, we're all going through difficulties. You know, it's not just South Africa, it's just not the United States, it's the entire world. And the one thing that we can do, where we can always help folks, is just reach out to them. Just calling someone, just messaging someone, just telling someone that you love them. You know, those little things go a long way. And when you show that as an employer to your team members, they really look at you as that star, as that go-to, as a person that they trust and respect. And when you gain that trust and respect, when they get back into business, they're going to take that practice to the next level. So, you know, this is something that we all as eye care professionals have to realize, is that we are leaders. And what we say is pretty golden to a lot of folks, and that we need to make sure that we're reaching out to our team members and also our patients as well.
Yeah.
What do you think is the role of the eye care industry in South Africa during this pandemic?
Geez, that's a tough one. Our role will always be, it's not just now during this pandemic, but all the time, our role is to educate people. People are sitting with their phones all the time. They're on Facebook, they're on WhatsApp. We need to be educating people, not just ourselves, because what we're doing at the moment, we're busy educating ourselves and we're not educating the public about how COVID-19 affects their eyes, what problems they might be facing with their eyes. Some of them can be sitting and busy with their phone, not realizing that the one eye does not see as well as the other one. But if you take it out there and say, just check, close your eye and see if your eyes can see the same way. You know, just give them exercises that they can realize that when we get out of this lockdown, they must just run to Ntombi for an eye exam. We're not doing much of that. I'm committing myself now. Obi, I'm changing my life today. I'm getting onto social media. Okay.
Thank goodness, finally.
You know, social media is the real deal. I mean, social media can really take your practice to the next level. I mean, when you sit down and think about just statistics wise, you know, half of or over half of the world is actually on social media. And depending on the type of demographic that you're searching for, whether it's a millennial or younger or older, there's different social media platforms that can be easier for you to reach that demographic that you're looking for. So it is the next level when it comes to marketing, and it can really enhance your brand as well. So you really want to make sure that you get on social media, make that step today, and it will change the game. Because what can you do right now? You can't do practice, but you can definitely communicate with your patients through social media to educate them that you are okay, or to put out, you know, how to do videos or learning videos, things of that nature. So when they come into their practice, they already have their questions and they have that mindset. I want blue light protection glasses. I want daily contact lens. I want the glasses that I saw you wearing when you were walking outside. It can really change the game for your practice.
Thank you, Daryl. I'm changing. And what's interesting, what I realize is that people can be on Facebook, but they don't necessarily have WhatsApp. You know, and they are there on the social medias more than on the communication that we thought were basically in the past.
Yeah. I mean, you know, millennials, they love Instagram. You have the new platform out, TikTok, right now, which you're seeing a lot of the younger generation dancing. And I'm seeing a lot of healthcare professionals actually move into that realm as well, because it's just something that brings, you know, laughter, fun, and joy. And for me, there's always been a couple of things that when I'm in that exam room having conversation with patients that always bring a smile to their face or a good conversation starter. Number one, travel. People love to travel and always talk about their vacations. Number two, food. And then number three, music and dancing. I mean, when you look at those three things, they're great conversation starters and great ways to build that relationship with your patient. And you can start all this by just having a presence on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be
converted.
Nice. So,
one of the things that, as you just mentioned now, in terms of the things that your practice needs to do to change, I also want to mention is that I believe that one of the opportunities that your practice has, as you alluded to, was with regards to communication to the patient. We need to train our staff to ensure that they know how to communicate information that is pertinent to the, or important to the patients during this time. So have you started thinking around at what level should your staff be communicating to patients pertaining to anything related to COVID-19?
I haven't, Obi, to be honest with you. I think I just focused on empowering myself in the past few weeks. And I haven't really been out there to see what I can do to the patients with my staff, or to involve my staff in what I can do next. I think I just need to start dedicating the next few week or so to going back and onto the drawing board and seeing how I can work on that one. And obviously, with your help, I need your help. Knock, knock.
Now. You mentioned to us earlier on that your practice in Cape Town, it's literally just 4 months old. Yeah. Had you known about COVID-19 and this is what it will result in, do you think you would have opened your practice still, or would you have prolonged it? And what is your thinking around that?
That's a tough one, Obi. You know what? It also goes back to saying, would I recommend to anyone to open today or tomorrow or 3 months down the line? I'm in an environment, or the way we opened our practices, it's not a normal brick and mortar building where it's a different concept altogether, where our biggest expenses is salaries, not even the rental, not even other we try to limit our expenditure or our costs with the practice. So it's a very well-equipped practice, but it would depend on how a person would structure their business. And even though I'm saying we don't have enough money now, I'm still positive that when I go back, I'm one that creates relationships with the patients to a point that when you walk out of my consulting room, you've had an experience. You didn't just come in to see an optometrist to get your eyes tested and walking out, because I'm that optometrist that when you walk in, I want to know who you are. And then by the time I start doing my work, while we're doing the history and doing everything, you are more relaxed, you're more comfortable. And it becomes an experience when you walk out. So when you come, I've been having most referrals from the patients themselves. And shame, the last patient I saw, I had to refer to the hospital. He can't wait to come back. The wife and himself call me regularly to say, hey, are you opening, you know? So I know that those are the kind of patients that will market you and sell you. So I built relationships in the practice to grow. So that now I'm not worried about when I go back, will I be struggling or not? So if a person wants to open, you have to be confident that you are going to go on and build that business and not just going to go into a practice and wait and hope and pray that everyone is going to walk in. So it depends on how you want to structure your business, on how you are going to manage and run the business.
Wow. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I always tell folks, especially when I'm educating on doctor-patient interaction, that the key thing for optometry is to create the ultimate experience, and it's done by having that relationship. You want to treat folks like you would treat your siblings, your parents, your loved ones, because that's the same way you want to be treated when you go into a facility or a business. And what we have to realize is, you know, with optometry, we're blessed to have the retail aspect and the medical aspect, and we're able to dig into a patient's lifestyle and be able to prescribe to accommodate both of those and bring both pictures together. So we have a profession unlike anyone else out there. And it's up to us as optometrists to really educate our patients, really get to know them better, and really get them to see how clear the world can be. Not just, you know, having 20/20 vision, but just talking to the patients, because every day I play the role of a psychiatrist when a patient comes in, and it's because I've built that relationship over time that they trust me. So you hit the nail on the head when it comes to relationships. That is a key thing for our profession. And, you know, you're doing that, you're 4 months in, we can have this conversation another 4 years, and I'm pretty sure you'll have multiple practices just simply because you already have the blueprint on being a successful optometrist and having a successful practice as well. And I know OB teaches this and preaches this probably all day in his courses.
I'm sure he's making notes right now, Daryl. Don't worry. The next lecture, I know he's going to be saying, hey, relationships. But anyway. And what you just said now about the education part of it, that is crucial. Because a patient, when they walk out, they must know and understand exactly what's going on with their eyes.
Yeah.
And what can happen tomorrow. If they want to have that assurance that as long as they're taken care of by you, they have hope that their vision will take them a long way.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, people are smart, right? We have what we call the internet. And anyone can be Dr. Google at any given time. But a lot of folks just have a broad overview of whatever condition they may have, whether it's you know, refractive state like myopia or if it's macular degeneration. But when you're able to go in and just educate them that, you know, you have these risk factors, so we need to look at this. This is what macular degeneration truly means. This is the concept of myopia. You really take that relationship and that education to the next level, which again, people want to have that relationship. They want to understand that you understand them and that you understand what you're talking about. So again, my hat is off to you. I love this. That's why I love optometry, just simply because it's all about relationships.
Dombi, what advice do you have for optometrists who are panicking right now, who are frustrated about the impact that this pandemic has had is having on their business? What advice do you have for them?
I would say maybe it's time for change. Take a deep breath, revisit your business, look at what's making you panic. Because if you're going to panic and not do anything about it and think tomorrow's business is going to be the same as pre-COVID-19, you're fooling yourself. Whether you're panicking or not, or whether you've been running the most successful business, business is changing. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to be different. So what I would say to everyone and anyone, whether you're panicking or not, then it's time to revisit our businesses, to revisit our structures, to see what we can implement going forward. What needs to change? Do I need to stay in this expensive mall, or can I just buy a house close to the mall or somewhere where I'm still going to be accessible? But if you've built a relationship with the patients, you know that your patients will follow you anyway. So you need to be, to just take a deep breath, just focus, go back to your business plan, check what needs to change and change the strategies, change the way you're going to move forward.
I like that a lot.
That's like Toby for president, man. Like, she has all the right answers. I love this.
No, definitely. Ntombi, we really appreciate having you here today. And I'm confident that we'll be speaking with you on a regular basis because you provide a lot of valuable input. And so much is happening in the industry. And as this pandemic affects various industries, IK being one of them, we believe that the way we do optometry in South Africa and Africa is going to change over the next couple of months. And so we would love to have you on board. I know you're one of the first people to qualify in therapeutics, which was the extended scope, and you are part of the people that are advocating for that. So it would be great for us to also talk to you about that, talk about young people. I know you've got an absolute love for young people. You are one of those people that give opportunity to as many people as you possibly can. And it would be so great for us to have you back again and talk about the leadership component of Ntombi.
That would be great, Obi. And can I say something else in closing? Is that, you know, as an optometrist, everywhere that I've opened, I've always connected with my colleagues in the public sector. So that when I do my referrals, they know they can put the referral letter to the face that they've seen. And I'd like to advise my colleagues that stop practicing in isolation.
Wow.
Let's go there. We're not going to form relationships in our practices only with our patients, but form a relationship with the optometrist two blocks away from you. You might add value to them. They might appreciate your value. I mean, I take my patients to, I call a colleague if I don't have a certain equipment that I think I need to use for a patient. And I call up a colleague and I'm like, can I come and do you have an opening that I can come and bring a patient to do a certain procedure? I go there with the confidence that my patients, when we come back, they'll still come back to me because they'll appreciate the extra effort that you make for them. So I would like to say, colleagues, let's stop sitting in a corner and being depressed and being worried about what's going to happen. Let's communicate amongst each other. Let's be united. Let's stop looking at each other as competition, but let's compliment each other.
Man, I love that. And you know what? I challenge you to take it a step further. Instead of being in isolation in just, you know, one area, let's work together as team members across the world. I mean, even right now with the COVID-19 crisis, you know, we can always learn from other folks' mistakes. I mean, we saw what happened in China. We saw what happened in Italy. And now we're seeing what's taking place in the United States. But, you know, with you guys in South Africa, look at what the United States is doing in regards to eye care. You know, how are they getting back into the practice mode? How are they cleaning instruments? What protocols do they have? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can always look at where the problems took place prior and just implement it and then add our own flavor to the region that we live in. And I think 100%. If we work together as a team and learn from each other's mistakes, again, my goal in life is to make sure that the optometric profession grows and it's bigger than ever and that we help eradicate myopia. So I just feel like we need to work together as a team in order to make that happen. So we need to work together on that global scale in addition to what you just mentioned as well.
That would be great, eh? Yeah. Challenge accepted.
All right, I like it.
Thank you very much, Ntombi. It was really a great privilege to be having you on our podcast today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a lovely afternoon.